your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Resilient Minds Podcast. I'm super excited today to have Miss Lauren Tickner all the way from London. What's going on, Lauren? How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you so much for having me. It is actually pretty sunny today, so nice. I'm in a good mood. I have a lot of energy, and I'm excited to share a bunch of value with your people. So yeah, I appreciate you for having me on.
You guys, we're so excited to have you here, Lauren. You guys, for those of you that may or may not have heard of Lauren, Lauren has worked in a corporate job at one of the biggest investment management firms back in the day. And it really became apparent to her one day that there was a significant problem out there. The majority of people are spending their lives in a job that simply gets them by because they don't really truly know what's possible. And really, you know, this woman's magnificent. She always knew there was another way. So she tried everything in the books, everything to make it happen. You know, from being sponsored to big companies, selling ebooks, all the way through to personally training people online. We definitely have that in common. It wasn't until she found this high ticket coaching space that she really found something that she could give her dream life and help hundreds of other people around the world give the tools to make their dreams come true. Today, Lauren is the CEO and founder of Impact School, where she helps coaches and consultants scale online businesses. Super privileged, humbled, grateful to have you.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. And I'm really grateful as well that I figured out that the whole corporate life wasn't for me at just the age of 18. I think that was kind of the time when you and I first got connected, all the way back then. It may have been slightly after. And I just would go to work every single day just wishing that I could have freedom and be doing something fulfilling to me. And I was just thinking a couple of days ago, I posted this quote to my Instagram, and it was just something that I typed out to one of my friends. And then she just said, Lauren, you have to put that on Instagram. And it was essentially alluding to, imagine if the you 3 years ago could see the you of today. And isn't it crazy how proud that person would be, being able to see everything that you've accomplished? And so I think I quite often forget to look back and see how far I've come in such a short period of time. But it's incredible. And I just wake up every day just loving what I do. And obviously there's some things that hurt and that are painful and that are really, really, I don't know, upsetting in business. Like, for example, my longest standing employee left last week and just caused an absolute havoc and realized there was so much damage that he left behind. But now I think that's the best thing that ever happened to my business. And I am even more excited than I ever was before.
You know, it's so fascinating. We literally were off before we hit record. We had this moment where we're like, holy cow, you know, just sitting there in grace together. And now it's like recognizing how possible, where's the next 3 years going to take us, or where the next, you know, decade, you know, and what else is possible, right? And how can we be models of that? So, you know, your experience has been tremendous over these past years that you've continued to evolve. And obviously, you know, there's ups and downs, and these experiences contribute so much to the resilience that you continue to, you know, you just mentioned, you know, having some sort of havoc within the business. But now tell anybody that's listening, you know, any of the listeners, and share with me, if you don't mind, in Cole's notes, you know, how has your experience evolved to really contribute to purpose, to your why, you know, to be a purposeful why for yourself?
Well, I think that it's been an interesting journey, right? Because I first got started in helping people become healthy physically and mentally because I had been through a very aggressive fitness regime, let's just put it that way. And it was super unhealthy to the point where I started having panic attacks every day. And so back then, I just wanted to post content on Instagram to ensure that other people wouldn't be feeling the same way. And ultimately, I just wanted to make friends who were in the industry of actually trying to get strong physically and mentally, because I didn't know anyone who was doing that. So it started off with this human desire for connection, right? I wanted to literally make friends. Then it transitioned into me realizing, okay, I can make an impact. And then ultimately it transitioned into a business because of the fact that I worked in a corporate job that made me so incredibly unhappy. And I saw that other people out there were turning their skill, knowledge, experience, and passion into their full-time thing. And I just remember somebody who was working in my office, she said to me, you should never mix your passion with your job because you'll start to resent your passion and it will no longer be your hobby anymore. And so that kept me in that job for, you know, quite a lot longer than I wanted to be in there. I'm very thankful that it wasn't long at all, but that's kind of what got me started. And then there was a period of time as well after that, after I started selling fitness packages for a pretty high price, I then started to get really money motivated, right? And then that fueled me for a period of time. But I realized that money can get you going, but it's not going to keep you in the game. And that was because I then transitioned into selling fitness ebooks because I thought that that would be what would cause me to build this big business, make a bunch of money. And so don't get me wrong, all of that stuff happened, but I wasn't feeling fulfilled. And I think you need to know what your core values are in life, because then you essentially have, I think of it like as a bowling alley, right? So if you go to the bowling alley and, you know, when you're a kid or you're me, cause you're really bad at bowling, you put the bumpers up on the side so that the ball just goes straight down the middle. That's how I kind of think of your core values, because my core values keep me in the lane. They keep me going down on the straight path. Whereas if I don't have those core values, and if I let other people's values and motives come into place, then what ends up happening is I'll be doing things that aren't going to ultimately allow me to go down, hit that strike, and ultimately achieve my goals. And so I realized that for a while, the goals that I was working on were not the goals of my own. First, going into finance, into asset management at just the age of 18, that was the goal of my dad. He had his own business, but he always told me that he wished that he went into finance. And it's so funny because now he's seeing everything that I'm doing and he's like, oh, wow, isn't it a good thing that I actually didn't go into finance? So I'm really grateful and happy that I'm able to allow my dad not to live in regret, right? Because I feel like for a while he was. And then the second thing was then after that, I went to university. Again, that was just a society thing, right? Society tells you that you need to go to university. I was studying on the UK's number one business degree and my professors had never had their own business. And I was sat there while having my own business, learning nothing that I could implement. And so I just find it funny now because the entrepreneurship society always invites me back and they always ask me for donations. but that's a whole nother topic, you know, of, I guess, reciprocity that we could perhaps touch upon in another time.
How has this like really contributed? Because like, I love the fact that you've been through so much of this, like, especially society's expectations in such a short period of time, by the way. And, but you've had this element in how fast you can skyrocket. But you've had that element of achievement in one point and you've missed the art of fulfillment, as Tony says, right? And right. And to me, you know, I totally know where you're coming from, because there was this moment where I was just so money hungry. I was just, that's it. Get out of my way. You know, that masculine energy just focused, right? And becoming, you know, focused more, a little bit more heart-centered and becoming fulfilled in doing how we can lead. What drove you to that? What was that defining moment that like turned that position that was like, holy cow, wake up, what's the conscious level, I'm gonna start serving, and you know, what's that why now that continues to make you, you know, be so excited about what you do?
Right. So I mean, there's been a few moments, right? I don't think it was like any particular pivotal point. There is one thing that I will never forget, and it was when I was sat in my office. Actually, I was standing because we had standing desks, and I love to stand because everyone else would sit. They'd like move their desk down so they'd sit, and it meant that no one could see my screen, so I could be researching stuff on fitness rather than actually doing my work at asset management. So I always did that. And I remember the guy behind me was talking to someone complaining how he hadn't been able to take his daughters on holiday for like 4 years or something. And he had some daughters who were older than me. And I just had this moment where I was like looking around the office. Everyone sat there on their computers, sort of like leaning on their, you know, leaning their hand on their head to rest. Loads of people yawning, loads of people drinking so much coffee, eating donuts and cookies. And I realized, this is crazy. I'm working in this job. And if I stay in this job, I'm ultimately working to become what these people are, because I'm in the lowest level position right now. Mm. And the people around me aren't happy. And they are working in a really prestigious, quote unquote, by the way, they're working in a really prestigious job, but they don't have enough money to even take their kids on holiday and go on vacations and even spend time with their daughters because they're working so many hours. Yeah. And I just had this like feeling come over me where I was like, oh my gosh, I need my own business. And I remember that weekend, I actually went to see some of my friends because it was around Christmas time. They had come back from university and we were at like a gathering all together, you know, just celebrating Christmas or whatever. And I remember saying to one of my friends, I need to change the degree that I'm supposed to be studying at uni because I need my own business, because I was supposed to be going to study economics and politics, but I knew that if I did that, I'd end up in that same type of job. So I switched to business, as I mentioned, but I tried to switch to sports science. They wouldn't let me because I didn't have the science exam results. Like I didn't ever do that. You know, I didn't do it when I was age 18. And so I just find it interesting how like every single thing that happens to us in life happens for us, as you mentioned, but ultimately it's this accumulation of various different things that always ensure that we end up in the best place that we're meant to be. Like maybe you've just been through a breakup, or maybe someone dumped you, or maybe you broke your foot, right? All these terrible things can happen. But what's going to happen in the future? Oh, well, maybe you broke your foot, because what would have happened if you didn't break your foot is that you would end up getting in a car crash while you were driving. Maybe if you stayed in that relationship and you're someone who really wants kids, maybe you find out that the partner couldn't have kids or doesn't want kids. Maybe it's that in the future they were going to become an alcoholic and abusive to you, so you got out of that relationship. It's like, look at the positive side of things, because yeah. I think that when you're able to reframe your mind like that, then every single thing becomes a blessing. And so now when I'm going through absolute garbage, I'm not thinking like, oh my God, this is so awful, this sucks, like one of my employees left. I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking, this is adding to my story and I'm gonna be able to tell this and change so many people's lives. And that's what's already happened just a few days later.
It's fascinating how we start that level of awareness change. So what did you do? What have you done for people that are like, you know, maybe not at that level of awareness where they can't start to you know, they haven't have the training or the know-how, or they haven't read anything? What would you say, what can they do to change their own belief systems or reframe their own minds? Because you've learned over the years, right, to create that and make that happen a little bit faster than most, right? I myself have taken a little bit of training. It's taken me a lot of years, but it given me an opportunity to evolve my beliefs. And so for yourself, are there things that you find that work for you to reframe, or maybe like catch yourself in a moment, or somebody, if they have no idea about the level of awareness, what can they do to really go out there and start creating that level of awareness?
in order to reframe your level of awareness, I think that the first thing to do is identify why you need it to change. Because if your life right now isn't where you want it to be, what does that mean? Well, that means that you're not showing up as the type of person that you need to be to have those things. And I'm not about to share a bunch of woo-woo stuff with you, okay? I am very much on the facts and figures, and I'm a very logical person. So when I used to hear this stuff, it would go straight over my head. I would end the podcast episode and I would just say, this person is not for me. Show me that, you know, alpha energy. Give me that hustle, because that's going to be what gets me the result. But it's funny because I realized that I was kind of doing various different things without realizing I was doing that. And so the first thing was literally realizing that to get to where I want to get to, I cannot care what people think about me. And so that started in fitness, right? People around me were like, why the hell is this girl lifting weights when she wants to get skinny, you know? And that was like the terminology used. Again, I don't believe in that terminology, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so people shunned me and really put me down, because back then, like 8 years ago now, that wasn't normal, especially for a girl of like age 16 or 17. I suck at maths, I'll put my hands up and say that. I think it was like 8 years ago, it might have been seven, who knows. Anyway, so that's another thing. Knowing where you're weak and admitting it unapologetically. If I tried to pretend like I was good at maths and all that, I mean, I'm just fooling myself. And if you lie to yourself, that's the worst thing that you can do, because if you start lying to yourself, guess what's going to happen? Well, you will then realize that you can't commit to things. So future promises that you make to yourself to follow through, you're not going to follow through on. And so I think that integrity is everything. But just going back to your initial question, how did I change my level of self-awareness and just awareness in general? Well, I think it's an accumulation of things over time that compound, because these small little things stack up. So I really believe that, and I guess it's an analogy that I've used quite a lot of times, and it makes sense to me. So if it's not totally clear, then please feel free to interrupt. So I kind of see life as a series of different volume dials. So you'll have your health and fitness. You will have your relationships and social. You will have your work and business. You will have, you know, some people will have side hustle in there. Whatever the volume dials are, depend upon the different components of your life, as it were. So some people who are professional skiers will have skiing in there. You know, I don't ski, so that's not on my thing, right? So anyway, I think that in life, everything balances out to 100. And so what you'll find ends up happening is that you need to just pick one area to essentially improve upon at once. Because if not, then what's going to end up happening is you're trying to turn them all up and it will just all explode, you know, because it can't take more than 100. So here's an example. Let's say you're trying to get your business off the ground and you're launching a new program, you're trying to get clients, you're trying to hire people. What's going to end up happening is like your business dial is going to be up at 80, which means that the rest of the components have only 20 left to go all around. So maybe that means that, you know, your social life is going to take a hit literally down to zero. Maybe it means that when it comes down to, I know, some other area of your life, you're taking that down too. But then when it comes to, for example, health and fitness, if you've been able to put in healthy habits and routines over time, then that's not going to get affected. That's going to stay where it's at, because habits allow things to stick, okay? So that's what I'm trying to get at here. So while everything equals 100, I also believe that some of the volume dials can just get like taken off and taken out of the equation because they happen on autopilot. So for example, with me, when it comes down to all this stress in my business, I don't need to try and turn the volume dial of personal development up, or going for walks, or listening to audiobooks and podcasts, or, you know, training and eating well, because all of those happen for me anyway. Like that just...
Yeah, they're like a byproduct. They're just like, they're already, they're like your habits.
Same with sleep. Yeah. And so that means that I have more room to turn my other volume dials up super high, right? Like I can make them, I can make my business go to 99 because the rest of the other stuff is happening on autopilot. And when I realized that, that was how I identified that while doing personal development may slow me down in the short term, in the long term, it's going to allow me to be ahead of everyone. And, you know, I'm honestly not really a competitive person, but when you think about it that way, it kind of gets you going, you know, because ultimately, if you're able to have that slight edge, what else can you achieve? And then it becomes the point where you're just proving it to yourself. So what I did is I started out with health and fitness. I nailed that down, got rid of any negative mindsets I had towards it, which I definitely had in the past. Started training, eating well to fuel myself and for performance. Then after that, that was running on autopilot. So now I could add the next thing, right? Habits don't take 21 days to create. It can be far longer for some people for certain things and far shorter in others. It really depends upon your motives, your buy-ins, and your ultimate integration with your identity. I think integrating these things with your identity is the most important thing. So I saw myself as a healthy person. That happened, right? That's going now. Next step, I believe the next thing that I did was started listening to podcasts and going for walks, actually. Yeah, that was that. So then that just started happening naturally. I just said I'm gonna hit 10K steps per day. That was an easy one for me. After that, the next thing I think that I did was I started doing mindfulness. So really simple, 5 minutes a day, first thing in the morning before I even got out of bed, so I wouldn't forget, right? And so it's just like positioning it so that it's easy for yourself. So at that point, I'd become the type of person that's healthy. I become the type of person who loves listening through consuming podcasts, and then I become the type of person who's focused on developing my mind, right? So I had my exercise for my body, my exercise for my mind, oil, all dialed in. Then after that, I mean, it really became a case of deepening those things. So now every morning before I get up, I do 20 to 30 minutes of a hypnosis track. I found that starting with mindfulness was good. Then I moved into meditation and now I do hypnosis because it's just like a deeper level. Mm. And so the reason I do all these things is because I need my performance to be the best it can be so that I always show up as the type of person that I want to be. Because if I'm allowing my stress to come into other areas, then I'm gonna be the person that I know I can show up as. I know I can be short. I know I can be snappy, and I know I can say things before thinking. And so identifying those areas about myself, that's enough of a motive for me to want to, you know, improve upon that, because I don't want to be that person. That's not my identity.
That comes back to your awareness. And you mentioned something really powerful here that I think that we should take note of. Integration to identity. And I wrote it down because I think that it's very powerful correlation. And when you can integrate your new level of awareness into your identity, it's not just about the knowledge that we take in. It's not about just you're also implementing a lot of this knowledge. You're not just taking it in and consuming it, you're integrating it into who you are, into your being, into what you're able to encapsulate. And that's what I think so many people miss. Would you agree?
It's the hardest thing to do because changing your identity is so difficult because it's who you are. It's how you show up. It's how you make decisions and how you see yourself. And so I think that a lot of people aren't able to shift and change their identity because of those reasons. And I think that when you have an outcome where you want to get to, and when you're committed to it to enough of a degree where you're going to kind of just, you know, you're going to go into it with full force, that is when I think you're able to change yourself. But you can't just do it just like that. And you hear of all these people who are, you know, doing these psychedelics and all of that. I don't think that's necessary. I mean, I've never done that in my life. I'm terrified to do that. I'm not judging anyone if they do it. If that's your thing, go for it. But I just don't think it's required. I think little by little, if you're able to have these small little changes, they really do stack. So yeah, I mean, for me, it's just become a case of like, I just want to be the type of person. I mean, there's a book called The Chimp Paradox. Just listen to that audiobook, and I think it explains it really clearly. I listened to it like a couple months ago, and
you called it the chimp. It's called The Chimp Paradox.
Chimp Paradox. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna write. I just wrote it down. So describe, you know, to share with us, you know, the process of, you know, if like when you've gone through, because I'm certain you've gone through some peaks and valleys, right? There's peaks and valleys. We've all had them, right? Like, I mean, you're going through a little bit of a valley right now, right? So describe the process of, you know, when you're going through that and how you keep your level of, you know, resilience focused on making it still, because you're so focused on what the outcome's gonna be. You know, you visualize it, I'm assuming, but like you, what is it, the process that you take to taking, you know, a negative circumstance and creating a positive outcome?
I think, I just think it's a case of knowing that you don't want to stay there. If you're somewhere where you don't want to be, then there's no point crying about it. There's no point moaning about it. I kind of have this thing where I will literally take like 5 to 10 minutes to be stressed, to moan, to complain. But that's enough. Once you've done that, then it's time to move on. I actually realized that here's what was happening. I was trying to make this new training for my clients, and it was just doing my head in because we already had one, and I was trying to figure out how to like tell my team to edit it in this specific way and do all these things and record this and that. And I just realized, you know what? All this time that we're spending thinking about the best way to do it, it could have been done 3 weeks ago if we just did it. And so I just said, okay, let's just do it. Let's get it done. And we got it done in 20 minutes, right? Wow. So for so much stuff, we think about it, and then the time that you're spending thinking of it, or the time that you spend thinking about something, it's kind of like wearing a weighted vest, right? It's holding you down, you're pondering over it, you're umming and ahhing. Whereas if you were to just get it done, for example, to sprint 100 meters, then you get to take it off, and then you have all that extra time where you're feeling so free, and then you can use that freedom to firstly look back and say, wow, I just did all of that. And then secondly, you have more energy now because it's done. It's off your mind. It's off your body in this example. And then you can move on to the next thing with more time. And so I just think that a state of uncertainty is probably the most energy draining for everyone. It's kind of like if you're in a new dating scenario, right? You're kind of talking to someone, you don't really know if they fancy you back, you know, it's like, oh, what's happening here? That is really draining for both people, because you don't know if you should just go all out and just be like, yeah, I'm into you, like, let's do this. And it's tiresome, you know? And so I think that if we're just able to realize the moment you think about something, if it's a negative situation, just like, yeah, complain for 5 minutes, but then fix it, because otherwise you're just going to stay in this situation of paralysis. And I think that at that moment, you're very vulnerable. And I don't think vulnerability is a bad thing by any means, but you're vulnerable to staying there. And if you're in a place where you don't want to be, and it's not a good scenario for you, you've got to do whatever it takes to get out of that.
And, you know, you touched on something, and I think that just to go back to that level of uncertainty, I think it also is super important on the values that we associate with. So based off of your values, what do you serve, like, you know, how do your values consistently show up in your business? Because I think it's super important. Obviously, you serve coaches, consultants around the world. So what do your values, how do they show up in your work, in the way that you serve your team, in the way that you serve your clients?
So there are really two sides to this, right? So as you mentioned, there's with my team and then with my clients. I think that it's much more important to have my values show up with my team than it is with my clients, because if I nail it down with my team, then what's ultimately going to happen is there's a trickle down effect and they are all focused on serving our clients with the client's outcome in mind. So there's 2 to 3 core values that I have. The first one is freedom. The second one is fulfillment. And then the third one is going above and beyond. So that kind of can sometimes sound a bit like cliche. However, here's how it works. So freedom is really important to me and my team, because I want my team to be able to essentially have the benefits of having an online business, but in their own area for my leadership team. So I kind of like to think about Impact School, my business, as multiple different businesses within an overarching container. So we have different departments, and each head of department is essentially able to innovate, come up with new ideas. If they want to create products, then it's possible, if it gets signed off, obviously. But for the most part, I give them freedom. And if I'm not signing something off, it's because I don't see it as a viable option, right? And I'll tell them like, okay, go think about this a little more. And then if they need to hire more people, then it's possible. And so that gives them freedom of expression. It gives them freedom to essentially take on more responsibility and all of that. Similarly with fulfillment, if someone's working at Impact School and they're not enjoying it, then we tell them, well, you know, if you ever aren't enjoying this and you feel like sticking it out for a little longer just to persevere is something that you can't do, then you can leave. Like, no one's keeping you here. The only person keeping you here is yourself. You have the decision, the ultimate ability to make a decision. And so then when it comes to going above and beyond, if we ever fix something in our company, we have to teach it to our clients. It's not like we just fix it for ourselves and keep it to ourselves. Like, we need to teach our clients how we did that, because we teach what we do. And that's why I think our clients get such good results. And so if someone on our team isn't willing to do that, then they don't have the client's best interest in mind. So I feel like that third value, we're trying to figure out how to nail it down in one nice, succinct word or phrase, but it's kind of like going above and beyond and always have the client in mind. Because
what about over delivery?
I mean, yeah, like it's all the same type of thing, really. I think that it's one of those things where like we've been focusing on nailing this down internally and communicating it to the team very clearly, literally in the past couple of weeks since that team member left, because it's provided us with a really good opportunity to now come in fresh perspective, moving people around. So it's been incredible doing that. But just coming full circle there, the reason why this is so important is because if our clients are able to see us operating like that, then they have something to emulate. So we have an internal course which explains every department, their responsibilities, outcomes, and all that. And to our highest level clients, we give that to them so that they can see how it all works. And then what I was just about to say as well is, for our clients, we want to help them create a life of freedom and fulfillment, but they're only going to be able to do that if they have their clients' best interest in mind, just as we do. And so I just think that it's a case of firstly having these values and realizing that the first person that needs to live by these values is you, right? If I have my business and it's something that I'm trapped to and I can't go and see my family because I'm so busy with it, that's not freedom, right? And then it's maybe fulfilling and it may be really rewarding, but it's, you know, one of my core values is out of whack. Similarly, if I am not feeling fulfilled in what I'm doing, and well, that's just, you know, there's everything wrong with that. Because when you aren't fulfilled, then you don't have energy to show up as the person and the leader that you need to be, to lead yourself, to lead your clients, to lead your family. And if you can't do that, then that's a huge problem. So making sure that I'm fulfilled, that my team are all fulfilled, and that my clients are fulfilled is so important, because when you are, you have the energy to serve. And if you can't serve, then, you know, why are you in this business model?
I love it. And the thing that you touched on too is, you know, teaching what we do, right? So I really love that point, because I think it's like we become the student and the teacher at the same time. And I really, you know, all about immersion, about learning, and about, you know, obviously improvement. And I think that that conducive to your values and your beliefs and what you're sharing here. Now, when you discuss your ideas or your clients' ideas, and you talked about a lot of innovation and evolution in your business, and how you've given that to ability for your team to evolve that way, where do you find that they get some of their best ideas, or where do you get some of your best ideas as you continue to evolve?
I think the best ideas always come from existing clients. Mm. So what are they struggling with? How are they, what are their problems? And also problems that we come up with ourselves, because a problem is just an opportunity to learn and to grow and to develop. And so this whole problem that we had with our team member leaving, it helped me identify that we weren't holding people accountable well enough. So now we've come up with this whole new accountability system, which we're going to be implementing for ourselves. We're going to test it. We're going to tweak it. It's going to mess up, so we'll improve it. And once we've improved it, then we'll teach it to our highest level clients. So I think that mistakes are the best way to innovate, to develop, and to improve. And then problems are the ways in which you can figure out, okay, how can I serve this client better? How can I make this product better? How can I position this marketing message more clearly? I think if something's not getting a result, people always will say, yeah, well, I'm just not making enough sales, or yeah, oh, my client's not getting enough results. But it's like, instead of saying, oh, why am I not making enough sales? Instead, you would be better off to ask yourself, what's the reason that I'm not making enough sales? What would my competitors do if they needed to make more sales? How is my product not effective enough that it's causing people not to want to buy it? Or why is my marketing message out of line with the goals of my ideal clients to the point where it's causing them not to actually purchase from me? Those are better questions to ask than asking, why am I not making more sales? Because if you ask better questions, then you're going to get better results.
Quality of your questions determines the quality of your results. I love it.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%.
And so with this, you know, you've given us such a profound and amazing path to success. Why do you feel people fail?
I think they fail because they care too much about what other people think about them. That's the biggest reason that I see, because, well, there's that, and then it's also, you know, well, it's all mindset, really. Two people can have the exact same strategy. One of them can do super well, and then the other one can end up bankrupt. It literally is mindset, because, I mean, I could talk about this all day long, but I think it's just people fail because they don't believe that they are the type of person who is able to have success.
You think they self-sabotage themselves as well?
Always. It's everything. Because it's kind of like when you're trying to lose fat, okay? So, yeah, the reason why I think people, I'm just trying to figure out how to word this in like the most eloquent way. Okay, so when it comes to reaching success in any area, it's kind of like we have this balance set point. So just like when you're trying to lose fat, right, what ends up happening is you cut your calories, and that means that your body is going to start burning fewer calories at rest. You're going to stop going out for as many walks or stop moving around as much. It's called non-exercise activity thermogenesis and fitness. I won't get into it. So essentially, that means that it's trying to pull you back to the point where you were at, right? Because you're now eating less food, that your body thinks, oh my goodness me, I now need to make sure that I'm getting back to where I was at, because I liked where I was at. I was comfortable. It was easy, right? And so then when it comes to, for example, trying to have success in business, for example, let's say right now you're making $5,000 a month. You're used to that. What's going to end up happening is if 1 month you suddenly make $10,000 per month, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I am amazing. I'm really good at this. Everything's going so well. Then something really problematic is going to happen the next month. So you might even make only $2,000, you know, and you go below where you are at because you want to balance out. And so this resistance will come up. And I think that the way that you handle resistance is ultimately going to be the dictator of your destiny, because resistance will always show up. But how do you persevere through resistance? It's knowing what that ultimate end goal is and knowing why you want that end goal so that you can push through to fulfill on it. But you can only do that if you have all of the areas of your life under control. If you're doing amazingly when it comes to business, but your personal life is in shambles, it's only going to be so long that that starts to show up in your business too. Yeah. There's this saying, which is how you do one thing, how you do everything. And I say that to myself whenever I start cutting corners. If I start, you know, it's been a day where I haven't maybe eaten so well and I'm feeling like, oh, maybe I need to just, you know, I'm still a little bit hungry. It's like, Lauren, what are you doing right now? Have some fruit or like have something healthy. It's like how you do one thing is how you do everything. If you have that ringing in your mind, oh my gosh, it stops you from cutting all these corners. So now you best believe that I used to be super messy and untidy. You best believe that as of just a few months ago, I started making sure that all of my stuff is neat and tidy. Because if it's not, then that's going to show up in my business. That's going to show up in my personal life. It's like the moment you eat a plate of food, don't just leave it there on the side, clean it, put it away. Like do whatever it is that you need to do with it to make sure that it gets back to that clean state. Because you can't even do that.
It becomes like a habit.
Yeah, exactly. And it happens in every area of your life at that point.
Yeah.
And that's what habits are.
I love it. So you know, I think that you've probably had individuals at some point in your life come up with, you know, an opposite viewpoint, you know? How do you respond to that? Just an opposite viewpoint on genuinely anything. How do you respond to people that come up with this element of different ideology of, you know, the way life should be, the way they perceive things, their map of the world is different? You know, because I can tell you from my experience, sometimes I've been abrasive in the past, right? Whereas now I can come from a place of love and share. But I'm curious to know, you know, as we evolve, we are able to have these conversations, or, you know, difficult conversations a little bit more with the necessary compassion. So I'm curious to know how your way of responsiveness.
If someone has an opposing viewpoint to you, the reason why they have that opposing viewpoint is because they've had a different life experience. And so I love when someone has an opposing opinion to me, because it's an opportunity for me to grow and to learn more. And so I was just having a conversation with a mentor of mine literally last night, and we were talking about vaccines. And so I was saying how I think that vaccines are okay as long as it's something that has been proven for years and years in the past. And essentially he was telling me like some other stuff about vaccines. I'm not going to say which way or another, because, you know, this is the thing. If you haven't done enough personal development, people will start to knock you for your opinion. And so I shared my opinion with him because I wanted him to challenge me on that. And so I love it when people disagree. I love it when my team challenges me. Part of onboarding with my employees is like, I tell them, hey, like you need to be able and willing to challenge. It's something that we actually encourage. And so, yeah, I mean, there's not really much more to it than that, other than the fact that I love it and that I'm accepting, and that if I know that I'm right, like if I'm 100% certain that I'm right, I just want to know why the person on the other end thinks that they're right when they just aren't, you know? So that's the other thing there. But when I'm talking about those sort of scenarios, that's when, like, for example, one of my team will say that they fixed the workbook for our clients and they did it properly, but it's just not right. So I'll want to find out why they think their way of doing it was right when it's just not. You know, there are some times when there is a way and there's not, but I think in other times it really is a case of how we've grown up, our environment that has caused us to see the world the way that we do.
Yeah, I think it's important, especially as a leader, right? You have a team, and that transitions really nicely into the way that you serve your team. And I think that's why you've obviously been able to grow in a successful business and been able to really co-create alongside, you know, an amazing team and give them the freedom, fulfillment, and the opportunity to over-deliver. Now, if anybody on here, you know, I want to really conscious of time. If anybody on here that's listening right now is curious to find out more about yourself, Lauren, or Impact School, how can they reach out to you? How can they find out more? What can they do to get in contact with you?
So I'm always super responsive on Instagram DM or LinkedIn. So just DM me there. It's Lauren Tickner, LauRenTickner. And then I have a podcast as well called Impact School. And so, yeah, they're probably the two best ways. I mean, whatever social media you like, you'll find me, but just send me a DM. And I love it when people share one golden nugget that they've taken from the episode and tagging us both, because then we can both share it. Like, we both have a good audience as well. But I think that so often people will consume a podcast and then they don't share it. But it's like you learn so much more when you actually share what you learned. So right now, everyone listening has probably forgotten most of what they learned, but there might be a couple of things that stood out. So that those couple of things that stood out, just take that screenshot, share it on your stories. You don't even have to take a screenshot, just put it on your story, tag the both of us. And yeah, I think that is how you can best learn, because then what you'll find is that will stay more true to you. And it kind of holds you accountable to it as well. So yeah.
I love it. I totally agree with that. Now I have one last question for you before we go, because I always love to, you know, end with the best one, of course. Lauren, if you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
Oh, I mean, I would go skydiving. I would literally make sure that all of my money is going to go towards curing epilepsy. And spend time with my family, I guess.
Cool. Right on. Have you ever been skydiving?
No, I'm so scared.
it's so fun. I love it. Amazing.
That one thing. It's like that one thing. That and bungee jumping. Ugh, I really don't like heights. So yeah.
Oh, you. It's a thrill for me. So I'm like, I love that stuff. Listen, Lauren, I'm very grateful to, you know, you took the time out of a busy day. I know, you know, our time is our most precious resource. So I'm really just grateful to have you on the show. It was amazing to have you. Do you have any last words you want to share?
No, I just want to acknowledge you. I think what you're doing is amazing. I think people need this type of information so much. So thank you for having me. And everyone listening, just realize how incredible this content is that you're getting here from Eric for free. So yeah, thank you for having me. And I'm grateful for you.
Blessings. Thank you, Laura.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Resilient Minds podcast. If you seriously love the episode, please be sure to share it with your friends and click that subscribe button. Do it now! As I continue to grow, I'll be bringing on some leading entrepreneurs into the show. So follow me on Instagram or Facebook and drop a comment or send me a DM. Tell me who you'd love for me to interview and who you'd like to hear more from. Once again, Eric Valens signing off. And remember this, your X factor always determines your Y factor.